Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, psychic, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio television talk show personality. She brings to the airwaves talented people from around the world who share their insights and experiences with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna.
Hello and welcome. Welcome to an hour of Mind Power. This is Donna Sebo. Today we're going to be discussing a subject all of us care about. What is that subject? It's cancer. It is amazing to me how unaware we are of the different types of cancer that can affect people's lives. We all have cancer cells in our body. When cancer becomes, quote-unquote, the enemy, it is because there's a mutation process that has been going on in the body. My guest today, Sarah Wiseman, has put together a book called Intuition, Cancer, and Miracles. Now, I don't know about you, but I have had so many people that I have known that have been touched by this, including myself. Yes. Mine was a cervical cancer situation. It was dysplasia. It was before this. This was a number of years ago. When you hear this word, automatically, subconsciously, you think it's a death verdict. It doesn't have to be. Sarah Wiseman went through an experience of her own, and this occurred in 2012. And we're going to let her tell her story. Sarah, welcome to the airwaves.
Oh, Donna, thank you so much for having me on your show.
Now, Sarah, I want to backstep a little bit because you are a woman that is very deeply committed to what I would call the spiritual exploration and adventure of life. This primarily came about because of an out-of-body, near-death experience you had in 2000. So before we talk about the reason for this book, Intuition, Cancer, and Miracles, let's talk about that experience that you had in 2000. What happened?
Yes, thank you. I was on a plane, and the plane started to have some technical issues. All of the oxygen went out, and the little yellow gas masks came down, which if you've ever had that experience, you know that that is really not a good thing, thing to experience. And I was traveling with, at that time, I had three little children, and one of them was an infant. And something happened. Now, you know, we didn't die, we didn't crash, but in that moment of understanding that the situation was really, really serious, something happened to me in terms of my consciousness or awakening, and the best I can describe it is the cabin filled with yellow glowing light. I felt as if the plane were held in the arms of God or angels or divine presence, whatever word you you choose to use. And I felt this in a way that all my past experience had never. It just like everything just opened up. And from that moment, everything in my life began to change, and it was an awakening of kinds. So quite unexpected. I know a lot of folks out there listening are probably nodding their heads like, oh, yeah, I remember when I had my one of those, or I remember how the world changed then. But that was kind of the start for me, understanding that there was divine presence, and I had actually experienced it.
All right. Sarah, I want to make a request. It sounds like you are on a cell phone, and what I'd like for you to do is to stay away from any other electronic equipment. I hate to have to interrupt the interview with that, but there is something, some energy that's interfering. So if you can, avoid the computer.
And so, okay, I think I'm pretty clear, but I'll just make sure.
Okay, great.
I don't want to go in a different room. Okay.
Thank you. Now, what I wanted to bring up is that in 2012, you were given a diagnosis, and that was one of rather intimidating positioning, and you were told that you had melanoma. Now, in today's world, we have come forward in many, many ways to understand how we can work with various conditions. But I have known of people that this particular type of cancer has been so devastating to them. Now, when this verdict was given to you, and I'll often say on my show, life is not a straight line. Just when we think we've got everything pat and sassy and nice and it's just wonderful and we're hunky-dory, all of a sudden somebody decides to throw a mud pack at us or maybe hit us in life's experience with a sledgehammer. And we will go, wow, now what do I do? And that's what happened to you. You got hit with a sledgehammer. Tell us what evolved.
Yes, it had actually been a summer of sledgehammers, I might call it. Prior to that, my mom almost died. She was in the hospital with some kidney issues. And then slightly right after that, my daughter had a major, major scoliosis surgery, which was planned, but she was had a, you know, very long, complicated surgery, and now she's doing great. But so kind of coming off those two sledgehammers, and then I just had this funny little mole on my shoulder that I had been ignoring because I'd been sort of dealing with other people's stuff, taking care of other people in other hospitals. And this mole, you know, and I might say I'm a very fair-haired person, fair skin, I sunburn easily. So pretty much in the risk category for this particular type of cancer. But this little mole that I just ignored, oh, it's fine, and all the while deeply knowing, like, there's something wrong here, and I need to get it checked out, and I need to get the time to do this, and yet all these other things, you know, got in the way. And eventually the universe just said, no, you need to get this checked out, and it was removed, and the lab results came back as melanoma, which at the time I didn't even know melanoma from, you know, any other, you know, different, lighter, easier diagnosis. So it was quite a learning curve.
I can imagine. Now, you make a statement in your book, and this is under the title of Mortality. You say, cancer isn't bad, it isn't good either. It just is. And that's a reality. It's just there. This has been around forever. This is nothing new. It's not that you decided to stand out on a street corner and say, hello, universe. Yeah, throw me something. I'd really appreciate it. This is no big deal. You know, suck it to me. Well, you got it. But you didn't stand on a corner asking for this. This is something that evolved. And I noted when I was going through your material, you're a woman that loves being busy. You enjoy every aspect of your work. You were getting signals that maybe you should slow down a little bit. Maybe you were overextending yourself. But we Americans, we're known throughout the world for being like the Energizer Bunny, and we want to have not just one battery. We want to have 10,000 going because we just don't want to go da-da-da-da-da. We want to go boom. We want to take off and just, you know, do things very fast. It's just part of us. It's something that's ingrained, and we feel like we should operate 24 hours a day and just go, woohoo, this is great. Well, the body has a tendency to say after a while, sorry, Toots, if you're not willing to listen, guess what? You're going to be shown something. Yeah, I know. It's happened to me. And I really appreciated your perspective on this because I think this is really what helped you come to an awareness of what you needed to do for yourself. Am I correct?
Yes, and I think a couple things. Once, you know, by the time I had finally figured out my path in terms of teaching about intuition, and I was so excited to be on it after a lifetime of, you know, sort of waiting to know. And I felt that I had to just travel and do events and do appearances and so forth, not quite remembering or refusing to look at the fact that I'm actually, Donna, I'm a complete introvert, and all the introverts out there, you know what that means. And for introverts, traveling is, you know, one of the most stressful things you can do. And so here I was out there pushing myself, thinking, you know, this is the way I have to do it, when in fact it was just a big bunch of baloney. I didn't have to do it that way, and my body decided to make sure that I knew that by eventually stopping me in my tracks and giving me several months to be at home and think about reschool myself in this new idea. And Donna, I'm a very stubborn person, and so I think...
Oh, are you?
You know, really? Yes, I am. So the universe had to use the big sledgehammer, not just the mini. They needed the big one that they had up there.
Oh, I think that's so funny, because I know that I have been accused of the same thing, and I go, no, not me. Oh, no. Well, stubbornness can be an asset, and it can also be a detriment.
Yeah, it was really interesting because some of the things I did, so I had a couple surgeries, and I had quite not a lengthy recovery compared to a lot of people, but for me, it was lengthy. I couldn't use my arm very well. And I found myself in the recovery, it was around Christmas time, and I found myself doing these little things, and it's just a funny story, but my little daughter does crafts a lot, and I found myself doing little crafts that are completely not, you know, what I would really think, it's not my personality, but the body and the mind needed these simple, relaxing, tiny tasks that weren't ambitious, that didn't have a goal, that were just purely for the enjoyment of dipping the brush in the ink or the paint and painting the little thing. And that's kind of what I did for a month. You know, it's like, that's the best I could do. And that's what I needed to do.
Mm-hmm.
To have these small moments.
Being mindful, I think, is what you're describing there. Realizing you don't have to be a bulldozer, that you can be more fluid, like water, with your environment.
Yes.
And one of the points that you bring out, cancer isn't the enemy, fear is. Now, this is something that I have observed in the many people that I've interviewed through the years who have been able to, let's say, overcome various conditions in life, that was one of the biggest components that they really had to look at. What was the worst thing that could happen? They could die, in their mind's view. And they'd say, okay, well, since I'm going to die anyway one day, what do I do while I'm here? How do I take a positioning of looking at this, working with it, so that it serves me rather than my becoming a victim? Now, this I have found so amazing. This can apply to so many different levels in life. But when I think about this particular component, I can remember walking into a cancer clinic. This is in Renton, Washington.
Mm-hmm.
Beautiful environment, wonderful. It was one of the first of its kind that had an environment of beauty, color, and art, that when a woman went in to this environment to be treated, this was a welcoming environment. It wasn't something that was frigid, frozen, terrifying, and cold. And they had such a wonderful response from women, and I can remember seeing the women in this clinic, and I'm sure men feel the same way. Women went into this clinic, and it was almost like a relief. It was like, ah, there is something we can do, and there was. And so it made a big difference. And you decided that you were not going to let fear be the nourishment in your environment. You weren't going to do that. You were going to take a positioning of, all right, I know the worst case scenario, so that's the way it is. Where can I come to so that I am in a position to take dominion over myself, my mind, my emotions? And this isn't something that you're able necessarily to do in 30 seconds, but sometimes it is.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I think that fear, overcoming fear, and I would say that the battle was not with cancer, because I always felt that cancer was of my own body. You know, it was me. But fear was, cancer wasn't maybe a choice that I had at that moment. It was just what was. But fear was something I had the choice to kind of spiral down into. And it wasn't just one big choice, like, okay, I'm not going to have fear anymore. It was like a choice that some days I had to make the choice almost every minute. It's like the spiraling would begin, you know, this sort of panic. Because melanomas in particular, very quick and very tricky. And so a lot of it, you know, we didn't really know what was going on until another surgery had been done or until this scan had been done. And all the while, the sense of urgency, because the cells do metastasize so quickly in that particular style of cancer. But deciding to choose to be in a state of appreciation and gratitude and hope, regardless of outcome, was really the choice I had to make. And again, at the beginning, until I sort of figured out where that vibrational level was, or where that place was where there was no fear, it was like I was just hopping around, you know, barely able to get through the day. And then began to do some practices, prayer certainly, meditation, and I used quite a bit of sound therapy and music just to keep my mind from spiraling down. And that was probably one of the most important aspects of how I worked with my own condition.
I really enjoyed the segment in your book where Hajam was in your environment. This is a wonderful individual. And you ask him, what shall I do? And this is a very common question when we are looking at something that is just devastating, no matter what the condition is. What do I do? How do I work with it? And what he said, and I loved it, he said, celebrate, be joyous, relax, rejoice, and have fun. Now, I'm sure when you first heard that, you looked at him and said, I wonder what he's been sniffing. I mean, really. I mean, here you have something that most people would say, oh, my God, you poor thing, what are you going to do? Have you written your will? I mean, there's all of this often negative. And here is Hajam that says, celebrate. And you go, what? I'm to have a party here. Are you nuts? But he meant it sincerely. He's saying, celebrate your life. Celebrate what you have. Celebrate who you are. And you're talking about sound therapy. This is such a valid form of therapy. I am going to have the privilege of having a woman that's going to be coming on. She's gotten involved in this. This is her life's work, and she's just incredible. She'll be coming on with me on one of my shows coming up in the future, in the near future. Yeah. And I've had Jonathan Goldman on, who has dedicated his life to sound therapy. This works. Sound therapy is amazing, and it has been researched. I mean, it's unbelievable what they have been able to find out. So now we're understanding how to utilize its modalities, and anybody that has any practical experience in life, you can go into a hard rock environment and find out that you absolutely feel like your brain has become mush. You can go into a classical music environment and will find, let's say, playing with Mozart, the brain shifts. So sound has a tremendous effect. And by golly, he said, use music, just what you said. You need to get rid of the stress. You need to put yourself into a space so the body has a chance to do what it needs to do for itself.
Yes, and I would use sound therapy, and it could be anything. I'm very partial to mantra, which is Eastern, sort of creates a trance-like state for the brain, so that the brain has to be in this repetitive trance, and it's not able to sink into obsessive looping, because the trance sort of gives it the thing to steady. I also enjoyed harp music, ambient music. I just put in those headphones and just let it play hours a day. It was really transformative.
Yes, it really can make a difference. I've known some people that have been involved in the healing arts where they built chambers that people who are very ill could be in. And they'd found through exploration and actually a very scientific study and application how much music would literally shift the vibrational frequency in the body to create a harmonic. And it enabled medicines to work better if they were taking medicines. It enabled the body to literally heal itself much more rapidly. So sound is very possible. Now, you had a very special visitation from your dad, and I'd like you to share that, because that gave you a great deal of awareness. Tell us about that visitation.
Yes, that was amazing. So my father passed about 15 years ago, and he was a very intellectual man. He was a professor at University of Washington for his whole career, and after he passed, I used to, I'm not a medium as my calling, I'm an intuitive. I do connect with different layers and levels of the universe, but it's not something that always happens to me. But my dad started showing up, and at first he started showing up when I was kind of in that dreamy state, you know, when you're resting, and then he started showing up in meditation. And what was what was funny about my dad is he always had this fantastic sense of humor, and he was really big into puns and plays on language. And so when he showed up as a departed, and a lot of folks, I think Dr. Eben Alexander's book, Proof of Heaven, talks about how he saw his sister. It's very similar to that. But my dad showed up wearing carpenter gear with a big toolbox and a little shed. And the funny thing about that was, my dad was a books guy. You know, we used to have a joke that the only way he could fix anything was with duct tape. Like, he never owned a hammer. And so as a departed being, he showed up with this giant toolbox, and he showed me this little doorway or portal, and then he started banging around and putting boards on it, and he shook his finger at me, and he said, "That's not for you. You're not going there. It's not your time yet." And that first appearance and message made me understand, like, oh, whatever this melanoma journey is, it's not going to be mortality right now. You know, he's saying, that's not for you. You don't get to go there. And I think people are supported very greatly by those who have gone before in terms of being able to provide them with comfort and support. I was so grateful that my dad came, and he came frequently during the entire passage and journey for me, and showed me other things similar.
Now, you also went through a process of working with foods, this type of thing, and I got such a kick out of your carrot plaster. I really thought that that was so cool. But this is something we are becoming aware of, that there are many components in nature, which is what medicine all comes from anyway, that can assist, but sometimes we need to be able to work with the body in a way that is not going to do harm, where you're not going to have side effects, etc. And you'd come across some information regarding a carrot plaster, and it worked for you. It actually helped do some work. Tell us what you did with that.
Well, I've been doing, you know, as intuitive, I'm really just really open to what the universe is trying to show and trying to knock on the door to me. And I had been doing some reading about Edgar Cayce's castor oil plasters, and just thinking, I was just drawn to that. And then thinking, that doesn't sound right for me. It sounds too harsh or too, like too much. And then suddenly the vision of carrots kept coming, and I was like, oh, come on, carrots, you know, I'm not going to work with carrots. And Then sure enough, I made myself a carrot plaster and put it under my arm, which was where the cancer was in the lymph nodes. And later I would find out that carrots are being right now researched. I think it's in Sweden as like this amazing cancer possibility. But I didn't know that at the time. I was just sort of following the universe as carrots. Okay, I'll do carrots. But that meditation that happens, so I lay back with the carrots under my arm thinking, well, this is probably one of the crazy things I'm yet again doing in my life, carrots. But then in that meditation, guides came in, entities, and I had one of the most amazing experiences of energy healing in which the cancer in the metastasized cells condensed into one tiny little place. It's like all of it gathered in. And again, I don't know if this was the carrots. I don't know if it was energetic. I don't know if this was just what my body was doing anyway. But it was a profound and extraordinary experience. And I just really believe in following what guidance tells you, even if it sounds a little crazy, because we're just in the infancy of understanding how healing works.
And I think your oncologist was a very wise man, because you had told him about all of your experiences and about your carrot plaster. And I could just have an image of a doctor sitting there rolling their eyes saying, oh, my God, does she need to go to Western State Hospital, because you live on the West Coast here. And that's a facility for the mentally imbalanced. But he didn't do that. In fact, your oncologist said, I don't expect to see you in this office again. He also said he had never heard a story like that before, but he didn't laugh at you. He didn't put you down. Mm-hmm. He just said, I don't expect to see you in this office again. And I think that there are so many things in your book that someone who may have a loved one that has been given a diagnosis, or maybe they're going through something themselves. I just had, within the last couple of days, talked to a friend that was discovered that she has cancer. And it was really weird how it evolved. And by golly, this is something I think that she would gain a great deal from. And your book, it's very, very supportive of people and saying, understand, you can do things for yourself. This is my story. Your story is going to be of its own unique content. But let me know, let me tell you how I took this experience and turned it into something that ended up being a very significant positive part of my life. And I think your book, Intuition, Cancer, and Miracles, A Passage of Hope and Healing, is a very, very good read for anyone that may be going through a lot of stress. So for those of you that are interested in finding out more about Sarah Wiseman, her work, and her publications, go to Sarah Wiseman, S-A-R-A Wiseman, WISEMAN.com, and you'll find more information there. I know we've got a little bit of time left, Sarah. What would you like to leave as a closing comment with my listeners?
I would like to encourage people to understand that traditional medicine is doing the best it can, and the spiritual and energetic medicine is a really beautiful tandem. It's like you ride the tandem bike together and hopefully find out some things about yourself along the way on this journey, using everything we can and understanding how much in the infancy we are of understanding healing.
I agree. SarahWiseman.com. Check it out. Intuition, Cancer, and Miracles. Why not pick it up? Why not read it? It may enable you to show someone else they don't have to be afraid. They just maybe have to think outside the box and realize this could be a journey and experience that they'll be able to make into something that can benefit others, not just themselves. This is Donna Sebo. Sarah Wiseman, thank you for being my guest today. This is Donna Sebo. Thank you for being with me. We're taking a break. We're going to be back in just a moment. Don't go away.
Do you have a group, organization, or club that would like to have an interesting and dynamic speaker? Then you're going to want to have Donna speak to your group. She motivates audiences towards personal empowerment, giving them tools for their personal and professional success. If you would like Donna Sebo to bring a presentation to your next event, call Delphi International at 253-582-5604. That's 253-582-5604.
Amino Muscle Snack Time, the chewable nutrition that feeds your muscles. Amino acids are the building blocks of protein. When you exercise, muscle tissue naturally breaks down. This low-cal, chewable snack helps to reverse that process and won't pack on the pounds. You can chew a few tasty vanilla tablets or any one of their other flavors before or after physical exercise, right before bedtime or first thing in the morning to jumpstart your metabolism into gear for the day. Convenient to carry in a purse, backpack, or briefcase, they are a tasty snack for the person on the go. Firm, fit muscles, trim, healthy body. Sound good to you? Check out Amino Muscle Snack Time Chewable Nutrition by going to Amazon.com or SquatSponge.com. Tone up, trim up, and nourish your body to the fitness level you desire. Amino Muscle Snack Time Nutritional Tablets. Check out the information and order today. Go to Amazon.com or SquatSponge.com. Order now.
Hi, this is Donna. Welcome back. Telephone number to call into if you'd like to chat with me today. I'd be delighted to light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight. Give me a call at 888-627-6008. That's 888-627-6008. Quickly, I want to mention to those of you who are listening from the state of Washington, I'm doing an appearance on September the 28th at the Emerald Spiral Expo, which is being held at Kent Commons in Kent, Washington. The event is going to be on that Saturday, and it will be from 9 to 5. It is a wonderful event. I am going to be speaking at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, so I invite you to come out, join me, and get acquainted with a lot of other people. There are so many wonderful, wonderful vendors at this expo, and it's a delight for me to share time with you as well. So more information will be coming out. I will be sending out an email as we get closer to it, giving all the particulars about the exact location. But for those of you listening, mark your calendar, September 28th, and it's going to be a fun way to spend a day. It's a great family event. Lots of things going on, good food, good people, good conversation. Can't beat that. And again, give me a buzz if you want to chat with me this morning, 888-627-6008. I was watching a program on television just a couple of nights ago, and I don't remember what channel it was on, but they were talking about methane and how it often is captured underwater. And I was intrigued. I was busy working, and I just happened to take a break, and I saw it on television. And here are these huge bubbles of methane that are under ice. This is up in Alaska. And they were showing how you could hit this, and all of a sudden, flames would come out. Now, you're up in the far north, for heaven's sakes. It's ice. It's cold, bitter cold. And you have flames coming from out of the water, a little unnerving, and it is a process, it is a natural process, and it happens. Well, on September 1 in 1905, there were people staying at a hotel, Parkfield, at Kittery Point in Maine. September 1, 1905, people are on the beach, and guess what happened? The beach burst into flames. It happened between 7 and 8 o'clock in the evening when foot-high flames broke out on the sand and on the water. On the sand and the water. That's quite a visual, isn't it? You could hear the crackling of the fire over 300 feet away, and the whole time that the beach burned, which it burned for about 45 minutes, the people watching it, they were terrified. What was going on? Absolutely unbelievable. Now, when the fires were burning, they could smell the pungency of sulfurous acid
in the air outside and also inside the hotel. Now, this is something that really is not fun because that is very dangerous. And in fact, the proprietor of the hotel, their staff, and some of the guests ended up with some problems because of inhaling this. Now, there was one guest, real gutsy person. They decided to pick up some of the sand, but dropped it immediately because it was exceedingly hot. And there was another individual, they never found out the person's name, that managed to take some of the sand when it was mixed in with the water. And this is what they saw. They saw gas bubbles escaping from the particles, and they were rising to the surface of the liquid where they burst into flame when they came in contact with air. Now, it dissipated, went away. The following month, in October, it happened again. Now, it was on a smaller scale. There was a botany professor, David Penhallow, who examined the area and made this suggestion that a layer of buried seaweed had fermented, creating flammable gases, which then erupted into this fire with the sand and with the water. But they don't feel that that's really what the cause was. Apparently, it hasn't happened since. What was it that created this extraordinary phenomenon that happened twice in 1905? Fascinating stuff. Don't you just love it? We never know it all. And Mother Nature is amazing at what she can do. Give me a buzz at 888-627-6008. Oh, I'm going to give you a little bit of information, too. I've got a new Facebook page that is going. I'm going to be giving you more information about Mrs. Sebo's Classics. We have got an extraordinary happening with this Facebook page, and oh, it is gorgeous. You're just going to love it. And we're going to be giving you more information about it. And when I get that out there, which may well be within a week, perhaps two at the latest, I think you're really going to want to go visit that Facebook page. It's just incredible. People are often looking for information. What if you were adopted and you wanted to find out who your real mom was? How would you go about it in today's world? Well, I've got a story for you that I think is really amazing. It's about a woman named Cindy, and I'll be sharing it with you. But before I do that, I want to go ahead and finish up some of this astrological stuff. I promised you that I'd do it. This is a fall horoscope. I've already talked about Aries, Taurus, Gemini, Libra, Scorpio, Sagittarius, and Cancer, and Leo. So now what we've got left are those of you under the sign of Virgo, Capricorn, Aquarius, and Pisces. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to just give you, this is so much fun. I just like doing this. To me, it's fun, it's interesting, and I'll just leave it at that. Let's go with those of you that are Virgos. Well, I got news for you. You have got a social life that is really going to be percolating. Yes. You have decided that this is something that you want more of in your life. You're going to be very discerning about who you want and what you want to be in your space, but you're really expanding yourself in a way and manner that I think is just marvelous. And you know what? You're a planner. Virgos typically are very detail-oriented. I know. I'm married to one. And it is very important that you know how to get from point A to point Z and be able to do it backwards as well as forwards. Well, by golly, this is going to serve you well. It usually does. And it's really going to come in handy, especially when it comes to money. If you're doing anything for investments, it's as if you're going to have all of the tools in the toolkit for success working for you. You will be prepared and ready to step up to opportunity when it knocks on your door. You'll open that door and you'll be on your way. Also, friends are very important to you, and the cultivation of friendship is very meaningful, and this is something that you're going to really honor and respect on multiple levels, even more so, not just this year, but in the coming years. And Be prepared. You may have some unexpected travel opportunities. It may not be for a month or something like that relative to time, but you might have, let's say, a 2 or 3 day excursion. It could really be a lot of fun this fall, 2013. For those of you under the sign of Capricorn, by golly, you're going to have a dynamic flow, especially starting in November. You're building up momentum right now. You really want to make things happen. You're diligent. You're a worker. You're not afraid to do what is necessary to get things done. And interestingly enough, you as a Capricorn often have a patience that many of the other signs just don't have. You're methodical. And, of course, that's the reason why the goat is your little sign, because you will very nimbly go into areas that other people would be very afraid to climb into. So don't be surprised when you find yourself having a lot of work on your plate and being able to accomplish a great deal more than you ever expected. But do take time to play. Do take time to play. It's okay to enjoy your work, but you need to make it all right to play. So this fall, get yourself outdoors, have a chance to enjoy the wonderful, wonderful activities that come with the fall season. And I want to say for those of you under the sign of Aquarius, you've got a lot of happenings. There's a lot of social interaction between you and other people. You really like planning for parties. Of course, you're coming into the holiday season. Before you blink, you're going to find yourself going, ho, ho, ho. And by golly, you love this. You really enjoy your home. You like making it very comfortable for other people. You are going to find that this is a very good time for you to do long-term planning for your financial security. And you want to make sure, this is very important to you, that you're not caught with your financial pants down. So this is a good time to start working out a plan. I'd say make a 3-year, 5-year, and a 10-year plan. You'll be way ahead of the people that are around you, and stick to what you know you need to do. And then, by golly, you're going to find that you want to get into genealogy a little bit because you wanted to know more about your family and your past history. For those of you under the sign of Pisces, nothing's holding you back. That's right. You are going to find yourself being able to celebrate associations with people that you've known. You will have an extended family of people that you really, really enjoy. And no person really is a stranger to you when you are aware of them, you like them. You take people pretty much the way they are. You don't try to make them into something they're not. Now, finances, you have a tough time with money sometimes. It's very easy for you to let it go through your fingers. So you need to be wise. Use your creativity in whatever kind of work you do because it really makes your job more enjoyable. Plan your money wisely, but also, I want you to know, family for you is extremely important, even that extension with other people in your family environment. Take the time to cultivate. If you need to upgrade your living environment in any way, if you want to plan more activities that bring more of an intimate association with other people and conversation and just being able to illuminate yourself, don't close out the idea of going back to school or doing online learning. And you're great with social networking. You just absolutely thrive in it. Well, that's it. We've finished up the whole zodiac for the year. Donna Sebo here. We are taking a break. Here in the Pacific Northwest, the sun is beaming with all of its heart, and I love it. Before we know it, the storms are going to be coming in. 888-627-6008 is the number to call into if you'd like to let me light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight. Don't go away. I'll be right back.
Donna Sebo publishes a popular, inspirational, and insightful newsletter filled with information about her upcoming guests, her travel schedule, seminar presentations, and upbeat articles to lighten up your life. You can subscribe to this free monthly newsletter by emailing her at donna@delphiinternational.com. That's donna@delphiinternational.com. You can also go to her website, www.delphiinternational.com, and review past publications. Keep in touch with Donna through this monthly publication. Again, her email address is donna@delphiinternational.com, and her website is www.delphiinternational.com.
Good health is something all of us want to have. Being aware of what we eat, its nutritional value, and how to balance our physical needs with our busy schedules is always a challenge. Amino Muscle Snack Time goes a long way towards helping us meet this challenge. Amino Muscle Snack Time is a nutritional food product that is portable, tasty, and in chewable tablet form, vanilla and honey flavors, a bonus for maintaining a healthy amino acid balance for healthy muscles. Amino Muscle Snack Time can be used anytime, anywhere, first thing in the morning to kickstart your metabolism. Take 20 minutes before or after a workout to help recover and build muscle. Take mid-morning or mid-afternoon to help curb cravings for unhealthy snacks. Weight loss, appetite control. Only top-of-the-line and no genetically modified ingredients are used, no caffeine added. These chewable tablets can be ordered through Amazon.com or SquatSponge.com. Take charge and jumpstart your food program by adding Amino Muscle Snack Time by visiting Amazon.com or SquatSponge.com for more information. Order now.
Hi, this is Donna. Welcome back. Telephone number, if you want to chat with me, 888-627-6008. When someone shares their story about their life experiences, what they've gone through, they are like a kaleidoscope in my mind's view. There are so many ways that life can create challenges for us that many of us in our wildest dreams would not have imagined even possible. Cindy is a woman that when she gave birth to her baby boy, it really meant so much to her. It was absolutely phenomenal. But there was something that happened after the birth of that baby. There was something that was going to change her life dramatically. Well, anybody would say after you become a mother, that automatically is going to change your life. That's a given. That's not a make-believe. That is a given. When you bring a child into this world, you know your life is never, ever going to be the same. Well, Cindy, when she was growing up, I've noticed she didn't look like anybody else in the family. She was blonde. Everybody else in the family had dark hair. She'd look in her baby book just to see baby pictures. Don't we all have baby pictures of one type or another? Now, she would ask her parents, am I adopted? Her parents said, no, you're our baby. You're our baby girl. But she just couldn't shake this. Something wasn't fitting in her life. She couldn't figure it out. Well, when she had her baby, she was 36 years old, and she looked down at her baby boy, and my goodness, he looked a lot like her. Well, that's quite normal, wouldn't you say? A cousin came in to her, seeing her at the hospital, and this is what changed Cindy's life, not just the birth of the baby. But what changed her life is a cousin told her, you have asked the question from the time you were a little girl, were you adopted? She said, I'm here to tell you, yes, you were adopted. Now, Cindy was quite surprised. She wasn't angry at her parents, but she was confused. She said, I just don't understand why they wouldn't tell me why I was adopted. I love them anyway. I mean, that's not an issue. But why didn't they want to do it? Well, it probably had something to do with the time. And she decided she was going to find out about her birth mother. Once this question finally was answered truthfully, she said, okay, I'm going to find out about my birth mom. So she found out that her birth mother was 37 years old when she had Cindy. Cindy had her son. She's 36. Coincidence? She also looked and found that her mother had been a hairdresser. She was widowed. She had four children other than Cindy. So Cindy got busy and she contacted hair salons. She contacted various doctors. But the adoption records had been sealed. And according to law, she could never have access to them. Well, this is what Cindy did.
she had a Facebook page, and she would post pictures about her beautiful baby. And a friend of hers said, you know, Cindy, there's millions of people on Facebook. You don't know, something might happen. You might get some information. So why don't you post an inquiry? See what happens. And the question was put out there, are you Cindy's mother? What did Cindy have to lose? Not a thing. This is what happened. 48 hours after Cindy had posted this, there were a number of people that liked the new page that she had developed. And it was shared again and again and again. Within 48 hours, 1,100 people had seen the Facebook page that had the question, are you Cindy's mother? There was a woman by the name of Terry. She lived in another community, and she responded. When she saw the posting that Cindy had put up and the photo, this is what she sent her. I think the woman you're looking for is my Aunt Audrey. 8 years, Cindy had been searching for her birth mother. 48 hours later, after she put something up on Facebook, she gets this response. Cindy's mom, her name is Audrey, is 82 years old. And she was able to call her and said, I think you might be my mother. Well, this was just wonderful. And the woman said, my dear, I have been looking for you these many years. This was just absolutely phenomenal. These are the commonalities that she had with her mother. Her mother loves decaf coffee, getting pedicures. She would never go out without being dressed and wearing jewelry. Cindy has the same patterns. All of these things just started falling into play. She found when they compared photos, they had the same nose structure, same cheekbones, even the same freckles. Yes, yes, yes. Well, you can guess what happened. A reunion, of course. It was a 5-hour drive. When they met, said it was 44 years of lost time. She found, Cindy did, she had a brother, she had a sister, and a number of cousins. And she said, now the circle is complete. She said, I felt like I was having a whole bunch of birthdays all at once. That's what Cindy felt, a whole bunch of birthdays all at once. Well, Cindy said, when she put up the information on Facebook, she said, my search has ended, now my story begins. She said, I used to think Facebook was just a fun way to keep up with friends. I never imagined I'd find my greatest treasure there, my mom. A fabulous story. I thought I would share that with you today. Life is so amazing. And even though technology can drive us nuts, believe me, I know that's how I feel. Stories like this make you aware that sometimes there's a magic that goes on that you really are never going to be able to put in a box. And technology may enable some of that magic to occur in ways that would surprise you. This is Donna Sebo. Remember always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. Always hold that close to your heart. And never forget that you've got a magic inside of you that this world needs. And I'm so delighted that you have shared it with me today. Thank you for listening. Tomorrow, well, we're going to be talking about the secret of life wellness with Ina Segal. And then on Friday, Requiem of a Spy. Don't miss it. Good people, good stories.
lots of fun things to share, and if we're lucky, maybe a recipe or two that's going to be thrown in. This is Donna Sebo. Have a magnificent day, a magnificent life. I'll be back with you tomorrow. Bye for now.
You've been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. We're delighted that you were able to join us and invite you to tell your friends and family about the program. Have a wonderful day.